This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. Also brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we take a look at this week's precipitation and its impact on cropland. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers discusses harvest and takes a look at the challenging growing season across Saskatchewan. We look at control of clubroot in canola fields. Real Agriculture talks about the rising cost of fuel. We have a two-part feature on growing, marketing, and processing the specialty crop known as quinoa. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk, 306-721-6667. The Provincial Crops Extension Specialist says this week's precipitation is important for improving soil moisture. Rain and snow has fallen overnight, but amounts vary across the grain belt. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says any moisture is welcome after a year of drought.
It's extremely important. I know here in Moose Jaw we've gotten a couple mills, which doesn't amount to much, especially with the ground being so dry, but it's just good to see some moisture out there. We've got a mix of rain and we've got a mix of snow, and I know quite a few areas across the province are experiencing the same thing. So even though it's not very much, depending on where you are, there might be a bit more precipitation coming down, but it's just good to see finally.
Is much needed?
Oh, yes. Yeah, certainly we need it, and we need a lot of moisture before it gets cold and the ground freezes up. That way it'll allow the water to actually absorb, or the soil to actually absorb that water and have good infiltration.
Is the soil moisture rating quite dry?
Yeah, last week it was rated as 12% adequate, 43% short, and 45% very short. That's for cropland. Then hay and pasture was 8% adequate, 35% short, and 57% very short. So yeah, this rain will only help things. It's not going to hurt anything. Now that harvest is over, there's no risk to crops. So it's a very large benefit, hopefully, that we'll see from it.
Well, we also need good snow cover this winter.
We certainly do. Yeah. And most of our dugouts are filled up from runoff due to snow. So we need a good dump of snow and all winter long. And then come springtime, it needs to run off into the dugouts and creeks and fill up water sources, especially for anywhere that has cattle on it.
Are pretty much all the crops in the bin?
Yeah. There might be a few fields, some low areas that took a little while, a little longer to get off. But overall, the province has done harvest and now focuses mainly on fall activities, some of which were unable to be carried out due to just how dry it is. But maybe now that we've gotten a little bit of precipitation, some farmers might get out there and complete some of those jobs.
Summarize the growing season for me. It was quite an interesting year. We had a lot of drought in much of the grain belt and yields were down significantly.
Yeah, it was a tough season. We had a strange spring where we seeded a lot earlier than we normally would. And then we didn't get too much moisture in the spring. We had one good timely rain around the May long weekend. And that pretty much carried everyone until, for most of the summer. And there wasn't a whole lot of precipitation after that. And then, we had, wind, hail, grasshoppers. There was a frost in June. So just about everything was thrown at Saskatchewan farmers this year. And, the yields reflect that. And fortunately, grain quality held out a little bit better. And there's a silver lining there.
The final crop report of the year reflected the impact of drought on Saskatchewan crops. Spring wheat yields ranged from 34 to 37 bushels an acre in the eastern grain belt and just 15 to 19 bushels in the southwest and west central Saskatchewan. For canola, yields range from 22 to 27 bushels an acre in eastern Saskatchewan and 14 to 15 bushels an acre in the southwest and west central grain belt.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eavestroughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavestroughs.ca and Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. Keeping clubroot low and local is being promoted as the way to prevent the widespread spread of the soil-borne disease. The Canola Council of Canada has developed an easy-to-read fact sheet and infographic. It was prepared by Autumn Barnes, an agronomy specialist with the Canola Council of Canada.
Really hard to keep things simple with clubroot. That disease just gets so complicated in a hurry. So we're trying to simplify things and make it make a little bit more sense. So the whole goal for farmers and for people who support farmers should be to keep the clubroot spores low, so as low of a concentration of them in the soil as possible, and to keep them local, so don't move them around. So basically, yeah, we want to anchor them down as we can and try and reduce them as fast as we can.
Barnes explains the best way to keep spore numbers low.
So the best way to keep spore numbers low would be to follow a crop rotation at least 1 in 3. So that's a minimum 2-year break between canola. That would be one of the most important things. We know that 1 in 3 rotation can break down about 90% of clubroot spores. So if growers stick to that and they start with a lower spore concentration to begin with, you know, that's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Probably the next most important thing would be scouting. Even if you're in an area that you don't have confirmed clubroot yet, it's really important to scout in the fall, you know, late summer or fall, pull up roots and look for any sort of swelling or growth on the roots. You kind of want to pay attention, especially in the higher traffic or higher moisture areas when you're scouting. But yeah, crop rotation scouting, growing clubroot resistant varieties, super important, even if you're in an area that doesn't have clubroot. Actually, clubroot resistant varieties, bringing them in early can actually help us maintain low spore concentrations, whereas if clubroot spores get introduced to a field and then a susceptible variety is grown, you're going to be amplifying and multiplying those spores really fast. So knowing that it's a little tricky to find clubroot early, it's especially important to grow clubroot resistance in addition to all these other management practices. And then, you know, another thing we can do is control weeds. So often people think of clubroot as a canola disease, and it is a canola disease, but first and foremost, it's a soil disease. So it's there even when canola is not. And any brassica weeds like your volunteer canola, stinkweed, flixweed, shepherd's purse, mustards, all of those will be multiplying clubroot spores in your non-canola years. So really important to control those weeds.
And many farmers are switching to clubroot resistant varieties.
More and more every year. In 2020, I think we were around 40% across Prairie Canada. In Alberta, it's a little higher just because that's, you know, we have more history with clubroot in Alberta, but every year the number gets higher. And the goal is, you know, all the seed companies have agreed to be putting forward clubroot resistant varieties going forward. So all varieties will be clubroot resistant in the next few years, but we need to make sure that growers are, you know, building that demand to match the supply because it is such an important practice.
The Canola Council has put out some infographics on the topic.
These have actually been pretty fun to make. So there's some nice visuals sort of showing what happens as spore concentration increases, that the risk of clubroot increases, and kind of breaks down that low and local messaging. Importantly as well, how to keep spores local would be biosecurity. So trying to prevent the introduction and spread of spores, and then reducing tillage, which is really reducing soil erosion. And then another thing, actually, which I think is really cool on these new infographics, is breaking down patch management for clubroot a little bit more. So that's sort of a newer way to manage the pest. And really what it involves is managing a patch of clubroot in the field separately from the rest of the field so that you can reduce spore concentration and then also prevent the spores from spreading. So in these new resources, there's a bit more of a break on how farmers can be doing patch management in their field.
Autumn Barnes is an agronomy specialist with the Canola Council of Canada. You can see the new fact sheet at clubroot.ca.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture.
Joining me here today is Patrick DeHaan, who is the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. Unfortunately, if you have had to go fill your vehicle full of fuel lately, you will have noticed that that bill has gotten a little higher than it usually is. And it is unfortunately due to some really record high gas prices across Canada. What's the reasoning for this? Do you want to touch a bit on why we might be seeing these numbers?
Well, we are seeing the highest oil prices that we've seen in some 8 years, over $80 a barrel, along with Canada's fuel prices, gasoline, all-time record highs across Canada right now. The countrywide average about $1.45 a liter. That is an all-time record. All of this really coming due to COVID imbalances, but made worse by recent activity overseas, in specific, a shortage of coal in China, a shortage of natural gas in Europe has supported the price of crude oil, and OPEC has been reluctant to increase production more significantly than what it already had planned in July, and that has the price of oil continuing to surge, and that is pulling gas prices higher across the country.
Is carbon tax affecting this pricing at all, or does it really come down to, like you said, that oil price?
It's less of an active role, but this is really the price of oil. Now, when you look at it, of course, compared to, say, 2008, when oil prices, or I should say when gas prices were last close to this level, oil prices were nearly double. So when you make a comparison to the last time gasoline was this high, oil is now only half, well, call it close to half of what it was back when gas prices were this high in 2008. The big difference there is carbon taxes. It's also the fact that the Canadian currency has weakened significantly compared to 2008. So that's also a problem because oil is globally traded in U.S. dollars.
Now, of course, no one really has that crystal ball or things I think would be a lot easier. But from an analysis perspective, when we're looking at some of these prices and how they are shooting up so high, especially for a lot of our audience that may be buying fuel in bulk, they got to be asking, how long could this last? Do you have any perspective on that?
Well, it could be at least several months until we see some relief. There are a lot of bottlenecks that have been induced by COVID, shipping bottlenecks, logistical challenges, labor challenges, all that are factoring in to some lumpiness in the economy and when it comes to oil supply. In addition, OPEC is increasing production every month until 2022, so that may help in the months ahead as OPEC continues to increase production, but for now, it doesn't look like we are going to get rid of these problems overnight, and so gas prices may continue to see some pressure.
Now, Hurricane Ida has obviously wreaked some havoc across the United States as it really impacted the Gulf of the U.S., and we have seen all sorts of different supply issues when it comes to fertilizer, et cetera, et cetera. Now, did Hurricane Ida have any impact on this as well?
It certainly has. Back in late August, of course, Hurricane Ida quickly impacted the Gulf Coast of the United States and led to the shutdown of nearly 95% of Gulf of Mexico oil production. And, of course, that also affected natural gas production. And so that certainly was an impact. The U.S. basically lost out on 40 million barrels of oil production.
Is there still any leftover seasonality to this, or what's going on there?
There is some. Now, seasonality tends to bring lower gas prices in the fall. We switch back to cheaper winter gasoline. That's something that happened back in mid-September. But this year, the price of butane, which is the main ingredient or one of the main components of that winter gasoline, is much more expensive. And so the switch over to winter gasoline has not really had much impact. It certainly hasn't lowered prices, or I should say, we did start to see prices trickle down in early September, only for Hurricane Ida then to make an impact that drove prices up. So there's really been no advantage at all, given the fact that so many of these other factors are outweighing that switch over back and preventing prices from declining.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your Agra weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Snow changing to rain this afternoon. Wind northwest 30, gusting to 50, the high plus 4. Tonight, rain ending this evening, then clearing, low minus 5. Wind chill minus 12 overnight. Friday, sunny. Wind west 30, gusting to 50, the high tomorrow 11, the low 2. Saturday, sunny, the high 17, the low 3. Sunday, sunny, the high 23, the low 4. Monday, sunny, the high 17, the low minus 2. Tuesday, sunny, the high 8, the low minus 3. Wednesday, sunny, the high near 12 degrees. The normal high for this date, 11. The normal low is minus 3. The sun rose at 7:19 this morning. It sets at 6:09 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot up north, Jimmy Lake at 7 degrees. The cold spot, Kindersley at plus 1. Estevan is 3, Saskatoon 2, Swift Current and Weyburn both plus 1. Yorkton is 5. Mist in Regina, it's plus 1, that's 34 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the northwest at 24, gusting to 37. Humidity is 96%, the barometer rising 101.0. Light rain in Moose Jaw, 2 degrees. Winds are from the northwest at 26, gusting to 41. Once again, Regina, mist and plus 1, that's 34 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com, and brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Saskatchewan is one of the largest producers of quinoa in North America, and the processing is done in our province as well. Northern Quinoa Production Corporation, or NorQuin, is based in Saskatoon and works with farmers interested in growing the ancient grain with a high protein and fiber content. Lane Christensen is a NorQuin Farm Services representative. He says, like other crops this year, quinoa was affected by drought.
I think it's a bigger question than just how it handled the drought. You know, I think guys that seeded a little bit earlier, kind of that earlier in May, did a little bit better on the drought side. Guys that waited for the rain definitely hurt more. And then obviously in areas where there was no rain and then we got that hot weather, we did see reduced yields, pretty much comparable to all other crops where it was very, very dry and very hot there through that August, July season.
Christensen outlines an ideal season for quinoa.
Yeah, an ideal season would be a good shot of rain there at the start of seeding. When it needs rain, it's going to be right at flowering and seeding time. So flowering is going to occur early in July. So just kind of a couple shots of rain there is good. It actually needs about a third less water than a typical, say, canola crop needs. So it can handle a little less moisture.
The plant flowers at about the same time as canola.
Correct. So with most of our varieties, we have a black, red, and two white varieties. Our red and one of our white varieties is about 105 to 100 days to maturity. Our earliest is a newer variety here we just tried out this year. It's also a white variety, and that's a 95 day. And then our longest variety is our black variety, which is a little bit longer at that 120 day mark.
Christensen says quinoa can be grown throughout most of the province.
Yeah, so we've grown all over Saskatchewan. It does well in Saskatchewan. I would say where we have had problems in the past that it just doesn't seem to grow well is it's typically into that northern Alberta region right now. It seems like we do have trouble up there. But as far as Saskatchewan, Alberta, it seems to grow well in most soil types. One area we haven't tested out too much yet is southwestern Saskatchewan. But when you get into southeast Alberta, it grows well there.
Christensen has some advice for first-time growers of quinoa.
First-time growers, the biggest thing is your fertility needs are, we typically say you're about at what canola is going to be for fertility addition. Some guys are working with some micro and macro additions through the season, which actually we found did help mitigate some yield reduction in our northern Alberta, and another fellow tried it out in our north central region, which seemed to help the crop get through. Other things a guy needs to know, we only recommend straight cutting it, as it can germinate within, you know, 12 hours on a dewy night. So sprouting can occur fast with a swath crop. So typically guys are desiccating and straight cutting. The only thing would be, it is a specialty crop, so we do learn new things every year. There are some bugs that only will attack quinoa. Lamb's quarters is very similar to it. So guys will say, well, quinoa has never been grown in my area. If you have lamb's quarters, likely your bugs will move in that same year, as lamb's quarters hosts a lot of different insects for quinoa.
Christensen says there are some insect concerns, but there are also chemical sprays.
There is a stem borer, very similar to a corn borer. So that happens early on in the season. We're looking for that in June. We do have some minor use registration for spraying for that. So you would be cutting open plants, looking for a little worm. And yeah, they just basically hollow out the stem and cause plants to lay over. And then the other one would be right around end of July and August. That's the goosefoot groundling moth. And that little guy strips the head of seeds. And we can see it earlier during flowering, where it will feed on some of the flowering plants. So we also have a registration for spraying those ones out too.
Lane Christensen with Northern Quinoa Production Corporation in Saskatoon will have more in a moment.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Quinoa is a specialty crop grown and processed in Saskatchewan. Like most specialty crops, quinoa does have an act of God clause. Lane Christensen is with Norquin in Saskatoon.
We don't lock in any production targets. Basically, we supply the seed for the growers at time of seeding, and we're going to buy back your production kind of no matter what. And obviously, yeah, if there's a really big wreck, we just kind of cut our losses, because it is a specialty crop, and sometimes things do happen.
Christensen was asked about a base contract.
Typically, we'll go with an 80 acres. 80 acres gets most guys into that Super B range. So for our customers on our ends, we sell per lot. So that allows us to have a larger lot to clean. But we will work with first-time growers on, I've seen anywhere as 10 acres up to, you know, well, right up to that 80. Some guys doing 160 off the bat. We're fairly flexible. If it is lower than 80, we just hoping that growers will figure out how to grow the quinoa that first year, and we can bump up acres in the following years.
Christensen was asked about crop rotations in quinoa.
Typically, the first thing we're going to look at is your previous herbicide histories. Some herbicides used in pulses, just depending obviously on rain and what can have carryover and hurt quinoa crop the following year. So that's the first thing we look at. But as of just actual crops, we tend to have another crop grown between a canola and a quinoa crop, just because canola is a lot harder for us to clean out, especially looking at our black and red varieties. Color sorters in our cleaning plant have a tough time sorting that out. So it's just to help out with buckage.
And Christensen was asked for an outlook on prices next year for quinoa.
Not at the moment, but I can say we are hitting the books here. As you can see, things are just going crazy between fertilizer and chem and other crops competing, like you said. So what I can say, it's definitely going to be higher than last year, and we are working on our end to hopefully make things a little bit more lucrative, as it is a specialty crop. We do like to have that premium above our other crops in the province.
Christensen says quinoa is sold in most grocery stores.
Our main markets are right now is we're in Costco, North America. You can find us in Sobeys, some co-ops, obviously your Safeways, Walmart, and then we are also just starting to look into getting into the ingredient market. And the biggest thing with that is our flour. So it is a gluten-free flour, and we are starting to push into that market quite a bit.
Christensen says quinoa is packaged in the province.
It's going to come off your field. It's going to either head to our Melville or our Carrot River cleaning facilities. From there, it's going to head into the north end of Saskatoon. And that's where they're going to do all the production and all the packaging. And from there, we're loading up the Costco trucks right in Saskatoon. They're heading out towards wherever they got to go.
Lane Christensen is a farm service rep with North Quinoa Production Corporation in Saskatoon.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. See Nelson GM today. And Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. Grain prices were moving up in early trading today. Viterra prices for canola rose $2.80 at $8.7942. Number one red spring wheat went up $3.57 at $4.0647. The rest were unchanged. Durham $6.8253. Feed barley $3.2465. Flax $12.3241. Lentils $10.3650. Oats $4.4553. Yellow peas, $5.44.89. Feed wheat, $2.61.65. On the Minneapolis Exchange this morning, hard red spring wheat for December gained 9.25 cents at $9.58 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn, 842-4574. Now the latest quotes.
Hello, cattlemen. Junior for Heartland Livestock Services, Yorkton, with your market report for the week of October 13th. Nice run on offer here this week with 2,050 in the pre-sort and 240 cows and bulls for a total of 2,290. On the feeder market, it seems to be trending steady to higher on certain classes. This week's sale was a Charolais-influenced sale. Here are a few highlights on some very powerful feeder cattle. Buckskin steers at 430 pounds, 268.50. Buckskins at 486, 234. 560 weights at 230. 635 weights at 216. And some 702-pound buckskin steers at 206. On the black steers, 410 pounds at 264 and a quarter. 493 pounds at 225.50. 565 weights at 217, 640-pound black steers at 210 and a quarter, and the 711-pound black steers at 211. On the red X steers, 420 pounds at 246, 500 pounds at 227, 572 weights at 216, 637 weights at 208 and a quarter, and the 708-pound red X steers at 203.50. The heifer trade, we are still seeing them 25 to 30 cents back from their brothers. On the cow and bull trade, we saw them under a little pressure again this week. 225 cows averaged 66 cents per pound. D1, D2 cows, 72 to 76 with a high of 80. D3 cows, 64 to 70. Your light shelly cows, 45 to 60. And your heiferettes, 90 to $1.05. The bulls averaged 95 with a high of $1.13. Next week's pre-sort sale is an Angus-influenced sale with 2,500 head booked already. Please give us a call to get your cattle booked in for this sale. We will receive feeder cattle for sorting Monday and Tuesday till 4 p.m. Once again, the producers are bringing top-cut cattle into our market, and the buyers are paying for quality. This has been Junior for Heartland Yorkton. Thank you, and have a great day.
Now the latest pork prices.
Ham sold 7,000 hogs Wednesday, selling in a range of 199 to 216 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,100 head, selling in a range of 197 to 221 per CKG. Ham's cash hog price today is mixed, and forward contract prices open mixed this morning. On Wednesday, the Canadian dollar was up 10 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2445. The Canadian dollar is currently trading 80.79 cents U.S. Daily U.S. cash markets are mixed, with the Western Corn Belt down $1.02 U.S. 100 weight, National 65 cents lower, and the National cutout adjusted base $2.33 higher relative to the previous day.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And brought to you by Second Look Online Auction, Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. The Sask Wheat Director Elections officially opened today. Registered wheat producers who have paid a checkoff to Sask Wheat in the past two crop years and have not requested a refund in the previous year will be receiving a voting package in the mail. Six farmers have been nominated for four positions. The candidates are Greg Berkich of Bladworth, Brett Halstead of Nokomis, Scott Hepworth of Assiniboia, Alan Kuhlman of Vanguard, Jake Legui of Weyburn, and Robert Stone of Davidson. Producers will be able to vote electronically or by mail-in paper ballot. The election closes on Monday, November 29th, with results announced in December. The annual Sask Wheat General Meeting is set for January 10th. On the markets, the TSX is up 210 points at 20,828. The Dow has gained 497 points at 34,874. Oil is up 43 cents at $80.87 a barrel. The Canadian dollar has risen 47 one-hundredths of a cent at 80.83 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.